Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ecology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this July the 12th on the West Coast, now July the 13th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zones. I'd like to welcome those listening in tonight on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world and on BlogTalkRadio.com. Lots to talk about tonight before we bring on our guest. I thought I might take a moment and explain to you in different terms what is actually going on with the finances, particularly in the Gulf of Mexico today. And this is an independent report sent to me by none other than the Texas Longhorn cattleman at Dickinson's Ranch in Barnesville, Ohio. Daryl Dickinson sent this. This is called Who's in Your Wallet?
With Obama spending billions of dollars of your cash bailing out everyone but you, never fear, because now there's the Capitol Hill Obama card that you can customize by uploading your own personalized image. The hardest part is deciding just the right picture. How about this one of your new neighborhood ever since you had to shut down your business and move from your old neighborhood with actual houses? Or, if you're fortunate enough to still live indoors, how about a picture of you after not being able to afford home energy costs that have skyrocketed to support his bogus global warming agenda? How about you waiting to see your doctor? Or your new smile under Obama's nationalized dental plan? You could choose this one of your new mandatory family car. Or you after refusing to cooperate with an acorn census taker. Or this heartwarming picture of your precious little children in Obama's voluntary community youth group. Or my personal favorite, a picture of the guys who were once the leading comedians of America on one side, the Marx brothers, and a guy who's the current leader of America on the other side, a Marxist brother. Your choices are endless now that the chosen one's in charge.
Get your personalized Capitol Hill Obama card, and it'll be perfectly clear.
Who's in your wallet?
I like that. Who's in your wallet? I suppose you could Google who's in your wallet and maybe YouTube. I can't remember exactly what the source was. I that may have been taken from YouTube, but I got it in the form of a Windows Media video. What does it say? Well, they're sort of making fun of what's going on with the money in Washington. And if you could see some of the pictures, they are funny, and in a sense they're true, and that makes them ironically sad. Well, what's going on in the world? Now they're talking about robots being 40 feet from the wellhead. This is in the middle of the night, by the way. I guess it doesn't matter because they're down there in the dark anyway, and they have the wonderful lighting from CNN that we've been treated to. We've had four images since this thing began, four distinctly different images of a wellhead that grows pipes. It grows all kinds of really sophisticated plumbing that you could only get in your home, believe it or not. But they're able to do that. They're able to put doorways in the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico that open, and people can actually look at the wellhead and look at the plume of oil and or dispersants coming out of what is really an artificial wellhead in a tank, in a room, in a building, and not at the bottom of the Gulf of Mexico. Sounds confusing, doesn't it? Well, we've seen a myriad of pictures, both in black and white and color, that make absolutely no sense whatsoever. And we've been going down the money trail, following the money, and we see collusion with the usual players in New York, Chicago, some in Europe, put options, the shorts. Somebody's making money hand over fist on that. And on the core exit, what a name, 9,500. And there are even people now, recently discovered by yours truly, that are making tons of money on seafood, particularly a company in Dubai with a let's say, a mother company in Russia. And this group happens to be a partner of BP. Isn't that amazing? We're going to talk about that and more with tonight's guest. He's become a regular guest on Evident Footprints on Monday nights. He hosts his own show on the Micro Effect radio network. His show is called The Story Behind the Story. And tonight, to give us the story behind the story, is none other than my good friend, PhD, Dr. A. Drew Ott. Dr. Ott, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Don. It's a pleasure to be on the show again, as always. Oh, yeah, you know, it's funny, hearing your comments, I find it really odd that the new cap is supposed to be in place sometime tonight, tomorrow. The old cap is only able to capture three-quarters of the oil. Well, my question is, where's the cap on those videos?
Yeah, exactly. Well, they know that the robots are 40 feet away. Now, this was actually some 4 or 5 hours ago that they made the most recent announcement. Of course, CNN now is even saying that they may have it capped tonight. Do you really think at 1 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning they're really at the bottom of the ocean there in the Gulf of Mexico? Really concerned about capping that well. After all, they're making hundreds of billions of dollars, most likely, on these put options. Do you think that's a possibility, or are we being hoodwinked again?
It's a massive hoodwink. Again, the the physics of the equation, 5,000 feet down, crude oil, asphalt, methane gas, all loses its specific gravity at that point. You got 150 atmospheres of pressure. The hydrocarbon-based abiotic fuel at that depth of that much pressure, even though that it may be a pressurized blowhole, it's not going to be able to come to the surface. So, in effect, it's been capped from the beginning, and they've been siphoning it off from the beginning. What they're doing is bringing in a better siphon. You know, that's the way I look at it. I think the whole reason for the no-fly zone and for the controlled media were the ones they happened to let out, you know. The private airplane, you know, group that flew in and took all the pictures of the dying whales and the porpoises, all of it to really get people's emotions aflamed.
Mm-hmm. It's about fear, isn't it? And angst and sadness, you know. They want people to feel desperate. This is following a pattern, I have to tell you. And I have been actually looking in the opposite direction at who is actually involved in all of this behind the scenes. And as I piece this together, the history of what went on with these put options and with BP and with the well from the beginning, the announcements, the external players that have tried to sort of weasel their way into this, and how this thing has taken this big twist, including involvement of the FBI investigating one of the former Goldman Sachs employees that allegedly stole some software, uploaded it to a European website, and then he claims afterwards that there was no intent to spill the beans about this. In other words, it's as if he's saying, I didn't really do that. But then we have documentation. In fact, you brought it to mine and some other researchers and talk show hosts' attention that there's a Eurex document issued on April 14th, 6 days before this happened, this alleged leak. And it just ties everything together that I found and you found. It's starting to fit like a surgical glove.
Mm-hmm.
And so I suppose we can talk about elements of that if you feel inclined to do so.
Well, surely, Don, the key thing to remember is the architects of the cap-and-trade legislation, the so-called carbon credits, the whole tax structure is a product of British Petroleum. It's just bizarre when you see how they've done that and basically positioning themselves to make a huge killing on the cap and trade carbon credits. Now, yeah, there's a lot of profit taking right now when these hedge funds and pull options start to mature. Of course they will, but the bigger picture is just the trillions at stake here for BP needing to go green and get green legislation through the Senate. That's the key, and to inflame the people to demand, that new regulations are in place limiting the drilling and use of the oil is all part of a vast agenda.
Mm-hmm. Now, I heard this evening, along with this report, that these two robots, and these are not, this is what, R2-D2 and R3-D3? I don't know. They allegedly were going to cap this thing, if you remember, back towards the end of May, first part of June. And they claimed they had it capped, and the second robot bumped the wellhead cap and damaged it. Now, come on. First of all, they didn't cap it, and then secondly, as their excuse, they have to blame it on one of the robots. These robots can only do if there are even any robots down there. That's the other point we should make. They can only do what they're programmed to do or what they're told to do. So this idea that these robots can just go down there and fix all of this is a bit preposterous. What is making sense, though, is that BP and their partner Exxon, through Nalco, the company that manufactures CorExit, are making tons of money. And they're destroying the seafood. They're destroying the marine life in the Gulf of Mexico. Now, why would somebody do that? Well, it so happens that there's a group in Dubai. Does that ring a bell? Dubai? There's a group in Dubai called Al Maya, and they are a subsidiary of another company, which I've mentioned on your show a week ago Thursday, week prior to this past Thursday, when I brought out the issue of TNK-BP, a joint partnership with a Russian firm that has constantly been, let's say, assailed behind the scenes by a group called the Alpha Group, headed by four Russian billionaires. Now, I ask you, how do most Russians become billionaires? You'd have to speculate on that a little bit, folks, but you can assume that in an economy where most people are very poor, you have people that are beyond millionaires, and they're billionaires, and they're buying up, or they're trying to buy up, these major world powers in the petroleum industry, like BP. They're trying to buy out BP's 50% share of that joint agreement with TNK. Now, on the surface, it doesn't appear that the Alpha Group did anything wrong, but they own the company The seafood company, Almaya, that's one of the world's largest exporters of the type of seafood that's in the Gulf of Mexico. I'm not saying they get their fish from there. They have other resources, and they're certainly able to get it. Now, they're located in Dubai, and they have a relationship with a company in Shanghai. It makes it a little more interesting, even. That's obviously a big area of the world that they service. And we're talking about squid and octopus, crab, shrimp. Most crustaceans that live in the upper two layers of the oceans. So these are massive schools of fish that they get when they go out trolling for fish, and they stand to make money, especially when the fishing companies in the Gulf cannot produce. They're gonna take the business, and they're gonna be in a position, because of a shortage of fish, to raise the prices and make even more money. Now, in the establishment of a couple of companies in Chicago, and you brought up CCX, the Carbon Credit Exchange. I'm going to have you talk about that in a second, Dr. Ott, but I want to stress that Citadel Investments Group, LLC, is Goldman Sachs' biggest competitor, especially in terms of what they do in high-frequency trading. They seem to be the masters of it, using algorithmic models. And they set up these programs, and they create what are called alphas. Isn't that interesting? We have the alpha in the high-frequency trading group. We have the alpha group in Russia trying to buy out BP. We have the Alpha Group owning Almaya, which is a trading company, an export company of seafood, one of the world's largest. So three times now this word alpha comes up in this whole story. Makes a connection. The agent that was charged in 2009, July of 2009, Sergei Alenikov, of having stolen proprietary codes for these high-frequency trading programs, was arrested after leaving the company in April of 2009. He was arrested on July 3rd, the day after he met with a startup company to compete with Citadel. Where? In Chicago. A Delaware corporation called Teza Technologies. But 3 days prior to them founding the name or registering the name with the SEC, on March 26, 2009, 3 days prior to that, on the 23rd, they were calling the company Pelagicus Group, LLC. Pelagicus. And that is a reference to the animals that live up in the northern regions. In fact, the bird, the Pelagici cormorant, is a black bird with a sort of a sheeny kind of feathering that was a victim of the Exxon Valdez spill. It's amazing that somebody would pick that name, and I think it became so obvious that they changed it to Teza, which is a river in Russia, and it's also it's a word that means origin. So you have a guy working for Goldman Sachs who's recruited by this new company, Pelagicus, which 3 days later is renamed to be Teza Technologies, and Sergei Alenikov is that individual. He leaves Goldman Sachs at a $400,000 a year salary, and when he leaves, prior to his going to Teza Technologies, he uploads these codes, encrypted, mind you, to a website, they say, in Germany. And I think it was Germany and Switzerland, and that came out in that Eurex paper that you had located, that Frankfurt and Zurich were involved. So my intuition and that document you provided matched. Alenikov was nothing but a spy. And I submit that, and I allege, we'll say, that Teza Technologies, a.k.a. Pelagicus, LLC, was set up by Goldman Sachs to be a dummy corporation that was going to, let's say, put Citadel in an uncomfortable situation. They had to deal with the fact that they were now going to be competing with the two people who were basically running the high-frequency trading program at Citadel that had an average return of plus 50%. The rest of the market, they say, was minus 40% on average. So they had a very successful high-frequency trading program. Goldman Sachs obviously wanted to burn them somehow. That's how I see it. It makes no sense. Why would you wait 3 months to arrest the guy that stole the software after leaving your company, investing millions and millions of dollars? And I'll tell you, who's helping with the development of that after you have a chance to respond to this? This is a lot of information, but it's starting to paint a very clear picture, Drew. Your thoughts? Hello, True, are you still with us? Well, Seth, if you're listening, for some reason I can't hear True. I don't know what's going on here. Seth is checking into it right now. So if you can hear me, Dr. Ott, bear with us. We're trying to get your sound back. If not, we can only presume that you've been bumped off the call. Wouldn't that be a coincidence? And I guess Seth is still checking, so I'm not even sure how much of that Dr. Ott heard.
Very little. Oh, golly. That was the topic of our my show tonight. As you know, Don, it was this satellite terrorism, so-called. Dr. John Hall is a very credible witness into the reality of this phenomenon, where they can actually control the very thoughts and feelings of the population. And they do that by little electronic gizmos that can take out your telephone conversation if they need to, or your computers, and the internet is what I've witnessed, and why I'm kind of out of the loop for any news since last Thursday night.
Okay. Well, I gave basically a description of the connection between Teza and Goldman Sachs.
Uh-huh.
Pelagicus, which was the name 3 days prior to them renaming the group Teza. I didn't go into the details of how much Citadel lost, because they were holding on to their BP and Transocean stock, as well as 11 other companies, majors, we'll say, that lost an enormous amount of money. They all had varying amounts of stock, but you get into 85,500 shares of BP and 150,000 shares of Transocean, and you didn't play puts. You lost a lot of money. And I should say the shorts, as far as the put options were concerned. The connection to the Alpha Group is in the court documents. It's in the documents that I looked up regarding TNKBP, and they are the fish company making money hand over fist in Dubai right now, the Alpha Group. Kind of coincidental, wouldn't you say?
No. No, not at all. It's funny how they have to use these Greek letters and Greek names anymore. It's all just ties right in. The Alpha Group, of course, there's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. So we have the lady named Liz, who understands the end times, so-called end times programming of the Omega, how that ties in now to Utah. Just quite an amazing story there too, Don. Yeah, it goes back to in downtown Salt Lake City. There's a, well, it's not downtown, it's out in in the southern burbs. There's a nice long street called Athens Drive. Athens is in Athens, Greek, in Greek mythology. Well, there at the in Athens Street is a Army Reserve camp, training camp, that Liz remembers, you know, being there. Well, as she's going in there and doing this videotaping, they have all these strange helicopters flying over them and hovering around them. And she has really a problem with holding on to the memories of what happened there. But as she explained to me the other night, this Air Force, this Army Reserve camp is named after ex-Utah Senator Jake Garn. And she didn't know anything about ex-Senator Garn, but she did some digging and found out that his entire job, his money-making enterprise, Don, is, of all things, a paid lobbyist for Cerebus.
Hmm.
So, see how it just all kind of links together now. They got the Russian contacts there. You've got the law firm in Chicago setting up the Chicago Carbon Exchange. The law firm is none other than Michelle Obama's law firm. It just keeps going on and on about this criminal syndicate. But it just dawned on me, no pun intended, Don, but it dawned on me that there's nothing, not a single thing that this foe president, this panel that he's got, I don't know of one thing that has done anything to strengthen this country, from the bailout and the TARP and the stopping of the space program. You know, it just keeps going on and on. It just seems like it's a planned attack to keep America even more into poverty and create more homelessness, because that's what really empowers a socialistic government is the paupers, the people that are just really not going anywhere as far as, you know, the food chain.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is a coincidence. Now, you know the relationship of Cerebrus to, or I should say Cerberus, excuse me, I want to say Cerebrus, Cerberus to Pegasus.
Mm-hmm.
If you do some research on Pegasus, what comes up is an address at 33 Canton Road, Tsim Sha Tsui, Kowloon, Hong Kong. Kind of an interesting name for a Chinese group. Of course, it smacks a little bit of maybe a bit of British influence, since it's in Hong Kong, like in British Petroleum. And they've got the Masonic 33 address.
Mm-hmm.
Just too coincidental, all of this. The numerology in this whole thing is astounding also. The date that they supposedly announced this was a date in February, February 13th, that they had the leak. And it came out on February 12th, there was a CNBC report and a blog posting that referenced this tiff between Citadel and Tesa Technologies and the fact that the White House, on the 13th, the White House was informed that there was a problem in the Gulf of Mexico. Not on the 20th, nor on April 14th, when that Eurex document came out. So it was on that hunch, and I said this on some past shows, that I looked back into November. That's where I found the case was still going on. In fact, they were still in these mandatory periods of non-competition due to the previous litigation between Citadel and Tesa Technologies. It was in the court documents that they mentioned that they changed the name from Pelagicus to Tesa. Now, stop and think. Somebody steals millions of dollars worth of software and they wait 3 months to report this? And it's high-frequency trading software, true? Does that sound realistic to you?
Of course not. Now you walk off with that type of platform, and then of course the Eurex European stock market allowed the put options to be placed by none other than high volume software. That's another little question mark.
Yes. Well, I played an audio clip on Drew Rain's show today, and it bears playing it for my listeners because I found this after I did all of this research. I had some key dates. Now, they arrested this individual who left Goldman Sachs, and we're speaking about Sergey Serge, he calls himself, on his dance videos with his wife, who has about 10 aliases. And who's a computer science and mathematics instructor at two universities. I found this as a result of a report that came out after Alenikov's arrest on July 3rd. He met with Tesa and left Chicago on July 2nd of 2009. Following day, when he returned to New Jersey, he was arrested. Now, we've heard he's from Russia, he's from New York, and he's from New Jersey. Well, the New York part is his job with Goldman Sachs. Russia, he was an architectural engineering student, but did not graduate from there. And he ends up landing this $400,000 a year job with Goldman Sachs. It doesn't make sense. Nor does it really make a lot of sense that the guy running the high-frequency trading program at Citadel was had a doctorate in plasma physics.
And now, Russian to boot.
And Russian. And this is Mikhail Malyshev. And then they hired for Tesa, they hired the guy that was doing the computer work at Citadel. His name was Jace Kohlmeier. So there were several people named in the lawsuit, but, you know, they used this argument, well, you have to go after Tesa. Tesa didn't do this intentionally. It looks like a setup. In other words, Goldman Sachs had this company get in the way of Citadel to occupy them with all this stuff. They were concerned about the compromising of their trade secrets. Meanwhile, Alenikov emails encrypted to Europe, he emails the codes from Goldman Sachs, or so they say, because we don't really know that that happened, right? They could have easily just sent that and then accused him of doing it. Mm-hmm. They own the computers. They could set up his home computer to look like that, like he emailed it from his home. Or his wife could have done it. In fact, she seems to be more qualified to do it than him. The $400,000 a year salary was likely hers.
And, of course, what was Tesa's original name of the company?
Pelagicus.
Pelagicus, which is what again?
Pelagicus refers to the creatures that live in the upper two layers of the ocean in terms of fish, crayfish. Or not crayfish, but crustaceans. Let's say shrimp, crab, lobster, tuna, and then other types of fish that are found in those particular regions from the Bering Strait, Alaska, over to the Kamchatka region of Russia, all the way down the Pacific coast of the United States and Canada all the way down to the Baja region of Mexico. And the Pelagici cormorant was the bird, the blackbird, this is what I was saying when you got bumped off before, that suffered from the Exxon Valdez spill.
Mm-hmm.
And by nature, it's a blackbird with kind of an iridescent sheen to it. It looks, in the natural, it looks like it's coated with oil. But that happened to be one of the birds. But it really covers a whole spectrum of different species as well. That led me to the Alpha Group in Dubai. Now, is that a coincidence that this Russian company is also set up in Dubai and exporting seafood, the same type of food that's found not just along the American coast, the Pacific coast, but in the Gulf of Mexico, with a few exceptions. Some of those fish aren't going to be found there, but because they're more cold water fish.
Well, Dubai, of course, and the United Arab Emirates, it's a hotbed of the Al Qaeda and the whole phony war on terror.
Halliburton.
Uh-huh.
And the banks it's a smoking cannon now. This is a smoking cannon. I want to play this clip.
It's a smoking Gatling gun.
Yeah. All right. This is a clip. This comes from Bloomberg News. This is dated July 10th, 2009. Keep this in mind in light of what we just discussed.
Spies, lies, and intrigue. Those are just some of the allegations flying around Wall Street these days. Sounds a bit like the Wall Street of old, but there are some new wrinkles. Ellen Braitman is taking a look at some of the latest charges. Ellen?
All right, wrinkles indeed. First, let's talk about Goldman Sachs and an update we've been following on a story the past few days involves a computer programmer, Sergey Alenikov. He was arrested last week for stealing software from the company, Goldman Sachs. He is now telling an FBI agent he uploaded proprietary code to an encrypted server. This is according to a copy of his FBI statement that we read in court files here in Manhattan. Now, in the court papers, prosecutors say the code is proprietary, it's worth millions of dollars, and it lets Goldman do what it calls sophisticated, high-speed, high-volume trades in various stock and commodities markets. The assistant U.S. attorney working on the case has said a person misusing the code might be able to manipulate markets. Now, as for Alenikov, he told the FBI the code has not been shared, and it was not his intent, to be involved, Eric, he said, in any malicious action.
Now, Ellen, as I understand it, this fellow Alenikov was supposed to be hired by some ex-Citadel employees. What's going on with that?
In fact, right, he had been. And that's because the former Goldman Sachs employee went to work to a company started by former Citadel employees. It's a company that is called Teza. And now Teza said that it did suspend Alenikov after these charges, after the arrest by the FBI. And Citadel is suing the company Teza, again started by former employees, alleging corporate espionage, saying that they had intent to knowing that this code might then be transferred, or in fact, actually, that they would try to access Citadel code. Of course, Eric, everyone here against whom there are allegations is denying that. But again, it is, as you said, allegations of some espionage there involving these companies. Back over to you.
All right, Ellen, thank you very much.
Now, True, I want to emphasize, especially the statement that she made, quoting I'm speaking about Ellen Braitman, the reporter. She quoted one of the prosecutors who said that in the wrong hands, an individual could misuse this software and manipulate markets. Are you telling me, or is she telling us, was Bloomberg making the statement, or the prosecutor, that having this software in Goldman Sachs' hands is the right hands for it to be in, with what we know about the corruption there?
Well, they surely did that with the housing bubble and the derivatives and the hedge funds. So, sophisticated software to do this, well, I think that's code talk for, again, artificial intelligence, perhaps, the Promis software backdoor systems, all of this. What is more manipulative than getting the put options for Transocean online the very day that the whale blows up? The drill horizon, deep horizon,
yes.
Drill. So, golly, yeah. Talk about manipulation of the world stage.
And it appears, this is my take. I've looked at some pretty shocking things here, but the coincidences, and I use that word with reservation because you and I both know there are no coincidences. These things are orchestrated, and in this particular case, it's clear that this company was created just to be sort of like a hornet at a picnic flying in the face of Citadel and having them concerned that their software had been compromised or that their methods were going to be implemented by this new group headed by two of their most important people, and they only learned of Alenikov after the FBI and Goldman Sachs announced the arrest.
But
We're saying 3 months after this guy left. They said the day he left the company is the day that they caught him with unauthorized access to their system. And he's encrypting the files and sending them to Europe. And in other reports, he claims that he wasn't sending these to anyone. Well, why would you upload these to another website? Then in another account, he makes a claim that this was software, and this was allegedly in his FBI statement upon his arrest on July 3rd, 2009, that this is software that he developed. These codes were proprietary, things that were not a threat to the company. Well, of course not if it's theirs and they want it sent there so that the people in Europe have the same codes. They have to have the software on both sides. They have to be able to communicate between computers to make this work. And they're setting up the models for how they want the stock to operate. They tell us, well, it recognizes trends and patterns, and therefore they can see when there's an opportune time to buy stock and make a lot of money, and they do this in nanoseconds. The computer makes the decision based on the models that they set up, the alphas.
And they don't even need to talk about the omegas, which
yeah.
is coming. You know, and that over the weekend, I did have a chance to talk with a gentleman, I can't divulge his name or his rank and source, but very interesting discussion we had, just all hypotheticals, okay? Well, he's a systems analyst, okay, for the Air Force, so I'll tell you that much. And the war games technologies that these computers have, the NSA's new data collection center very much has the capabilities, according to him, to do with the artificial intelligence, the AI, to have a sort of there's so much information. I don't know how many he told me the computer lingo, but it doesn't mean anything to me. As far as the huge amount of data, okay, they can process. He likened it to that movie with Tom Cruise called Minority Report,
mm-hmm.
where they have these precogs, these three psychics floating around in the bath, right? Well, the computer that he says they're putting online has the ability to do that. There could very well be a division of law enforcement formed to stop a crime from happening before it's even committed. And that was the whole purpose of putting out the movie Minority Report, to see how people would accept the idea of arresting people before the alleged crime was going to be made. I mean, how in the world do you convict on something like that, Don? You haven't committed a crime yet, but the computers have told law enforcement that you will.
Well, they base that on the premise of thought crimes, so they have to create thought crime legislation. You'd have to start off by arresting the short-legged Mac Daddy and the White House press secretary right from the get-go. We've heard nothing but lies from them. Well, you'd have to arrest the whole of Congress then, wouldn't you?
Well, see, that's where it becomes the norm becomes the corruption of the police officials, okay? So, yeah, that... I see the potential for the surveillance, the National Security Agency, all of this coming together to really take away any vestige of personal freedoms and privacy. That's the future as I see it. But so yeah, when you talk about TASA and the sophisticated software, well, again, there's so many adjuncts to that as far as, you know, the computers that are online now.
Yeah. Now, TASA, by the way, since you mentioned them again, formed three companies. One of them was a technology company, which I thought was rather interesting, because now you have these two individuals, at least, Aleinikov, if he ever got around to working with them. As far as I know, the company didn't do any business. This was sort of a dog and pony show in the courts to preoccupy Citadel, as far as I could tell. It appears that they were set up to not pick up what was happening.
Wow.
And, you know, this thing about they suspended him, they were part of it. They were part of the same ruse. When you look at his wife, Alina is the name that they go by, Alina Aleinikov, she's got some rather interesting aliases. And she starts to show up in places either at MIT or Harvard, not by name, but by location. And she's a Russian. In fact, they are on a couple of YouTube videos. One, the couple is dancing. There's a 2008 dance contest, and they're waltzing. I mean, it's very, very, they say in Europe, schmaltzig. Very corny.
Well, you know, speaking of all this, I don't know if you've seen it in your papers there in Ohio, but here in the Utah papers, there's been three or four articles. There was quite a large one on Sunday, yesterday's paper, talking about this Russian and American spy exchange.
Mm-hmm.
That sounded like something out of the Cold War. I thought we were all good buddies with Russia. Now, why do we have to have a spy exchange?
I think it's just a cover story.
Are they dancing? Are they going out and dancing with the stars or what?
What is interesting in this dance competition, and this is an international dance competition, they're introduced as a couple from New York while they're showing their picture on the video screen with their address in New Jersey. And then in the interview, she does all the talking, which to me is a sign of she wears the pants in the relationship.
Uh-huh.
She's got the prestige. There was no reason for Goldman Sachs to hire this guy except to make him a liaison to his wife, who is a computer sciences major and mathematical sciences major and a faculty member at Montclair State University in New Jersey, and previously at University of Pennsylvania. What it appears that the millions of dollars that Goldman Sachs is spending is to get these universities to actually create these algorithms, to do the research and the testing of these algorithms, because they're busy making money. They're busy scheming up ways to do these things. And basically all they have to say is, this is what we want to be able to do. Write the program. And I'm sure that's what his wife did. I'm very certain of that. What else could it be? She's listed as an uncategorized faculty member at Montclair. She has no telephone, and she has no schedule, yet she has an office, a department, RI-103. And there are several others with the same categorization that have that same situation. No phone number, no published schedule, and that one particular room could be a research room. She could be hired by the university and not really teaching, but developing these outside projects for companies like Goldman Sachs. Now, I find that rather interesting, but then there are more anomalies, because if you look at one of four of their faculty members who are in an administrative capacity, one of them shows his prior work with Citibank and Bear Stearns. He doesn't have a schedule. He doesn't have a phone number. It's amazing. So they have people out in the field that they're putting on their faculty as go-betweens. I guess this legitimizes it, and it's how they explain to their shareholders and their board and or the board of regents, whoever is supervising over their school, as to why that person is on the payroll. I say he's an administrator. He works with a company called Numerics. Guess what their business is? Derivatives and hedge funds. This is the guy in the computer sciences and mathematics department at Montclair. And I picked that name out of a hat just to see what would happen if I looked at those people. Are they, you know, why aren't they there at the school? Well, they're out there on Wall Street doing the same thing that Goldman Sachs is doing, probably on their behalf. Or certainly the compromising of this, if other companies are using their software, Goldman Sachs knows exactly what everybody else is doing.
There you go. What earthly good has Goldman Sachs done in the last 30 years? Can you name something that they've produced?
Well, they produced characters like Alan Greenspan, Paul Volcker, Henry Paulson, Tim Geithner. They've helped the reptilians.
Yeah, they're just a bunch of blood-sucking leeches. I mean, my point is, I don't know what they've ever produced. It's just sucking out the lifeblood and creating manipulation of the market on a grand scale. I just like that movie with Eddie Murphy, Trading Places, and Dan Aykroyd, you know, where, you know, the manipulation of the market is shown there very, very graphically. Well, I just don't think the SEC is interested in arresting the big movers and shakers of Goldman Sachs, the likes of Fabulous Fab Torre and his entourage. Yeah.
Yeah, you notice in this story, true, they have basically two scapegoats, don't they? They've got everybody looking at that email that Fabulous Fab sent to his girlfriend, they say.
Yeah.
And do you really think that guy would be around walking, having done that? It's almost like they put it out there just to say, hey, there is somebody out there who's corrupt and we caught him. You know, it's a dog and pony show. And it's a smokescreen because most people don't understand the ties that all these companies have and how many of them are owned by the same entity, even though on the surface it appears that they're independent and you know, working on their own. The collusion here, and I have to say, after what I've found so far true, I think I've only scratched the surface.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, again, it goes back to premeditated attack on America by these Zionist forces, these sick Satanists. You know, when you really analyze it, what else is it but an act of war, an attack? Even more so than the 9/11 debacle of the false flag.
Mm-hmm. And now with all this going on, you see, no one's faulting. I say no one. Certainly in the media, they're not faulting the president, who is just playing golf, and just, you know, going through his NLP speeches off of the teleprompters. There's no substance coming out from anybody. They're lying about what's going on in the Gulf. They're lying about what they're doing about it. Now they're starting to put the word out again that they're considering putting a stop to all of this deep water drilling, this exploratory drilling in the territorial waters. Well, that pushes it towards cap and trade then, doesn't it?
Sure it does.
And they're still pumping the Corexit, you see? They're still making money on that, and they're toxifying the ocean. They sent Philippe Cousteau on Friday. They sent him down there 10 or 20 feet below the surface of the water. You could see the sunlight on the water above his head. And he's talking about all the dead debris floating there. And the water was murky at the surface. And he said this has to be the dispersant that they're putting there. Highly toxic. I wouldn't have gone in the water. He was wearing a full wetsuit and mask and tanks and all that. But I certainly wouldn't have done that. And he took a CNN reporter. And basically, why are they showing us these images? Are we supposed to think that because you can see a little bit and just a few feet from the surface, you could barely see them. In the sunlight, you could barely see them. It was murky water, and of course they're taking shots on the boat. They want you to see them jumping in, so we can't accuse them of doing this in buildings and tanks like we have on the other images. But we don't really know where they were. We can only go by what they told us as to where they were. They could have been on the outskirts of this. Or purely, simply in a place where they were just dumping Corexit on top of the water. But he described the symptoms of what he was finding in the organic material that was floating through the ocean. Didn't see one fish, Drew. Didn't see one fish. And in that area, you would be concerned about sharks. Huh? There was no concern about that. They knew the sharks weren't there.
Yeah.
Any comment?
Well, I saw that initial report that he did, about 2 months ago. Then I questioned it then. There's just too much controlled propaganda coming out. Yeah, they've been caught in lies. They're continuing to lie. This clear a month ago, I said look for containment to be announced the middle of July, and that's about where it's going to be. Because why? They need to have that announcement so they can really get a timetable of the cleanup. all of this again to impact the senators and the poor people of the region. So it's just a major, major attack. They've got to have have access to people flying over. They won't be able to see the new plumes coming down because it's been shut off since I'm not exactly sure the date they announced that they cut the pipe at the floor. So yeah, it's just they've got the hurricane season approaching. They're going to have some storms. You can bank on it. They're going to guide some storms in there with their technology. Notice how Alex never came close. They're not, they'll bring it on when they're ready to bring them on.
Yeah, it's evident that they're gearing up for something. Certainly, they're trying to buy time because the longer this takes, the more money they make on the short put options.
And, of course, there'll be a midterm election, October. And then look for some kind of a catastrophic thing in October.
Now,
with these guys.
Yeah. Don't you find it ironic that the rest of the world is not demanding an investigation into this on the basis of what occurred on the Eurex?
You would think, huh? We sure screamed loud and hard about it on the radio, but my emails have been off, so I'm not sure how many people have responded, but I don't think it's that many.
Well, people are starting to pay attention, but I think the average person can't get a handle on it. Most people are not in the stock markets, and they don't understand stock markets. I'm not in it, but you can study it a little bit, and you can get a handle on what types of investments are made or betting. It's a paper casino, isn't it?
Well, it's a crapshoot with loaded dice.
yeah. And you know, the people that are complaining about the computerized one-arm bandits, you think that's bad. I mean, you know, this is, you lose everything in one pull of the arm.
It's like going into a casino with a computerized card counting game on a 21 table.
Yeah, exactly. Well, what would you like people to do? What do you see people doing that could have some impact on this whole thing?
Well, just being alert and awake and understanding the real important key to this whole scenario is again the computer technologies that are going to be used in the satellite terrorism. Harassment, the stalking that's going on. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a huge, huge issue. I'd strongly recommend learning about it by getting Dr. John Hall's book called The A New Breed. Read his story. Get to know what he's doing with thousands of people across not only this nation but the world that are realizing they've been stalked and harassed through high-level, high-tech systems. And it's just going to get worse. It's not going to get any better. So that's all I can say. It's got to be stopped now. Now.
Yes. Now, your website, A2.com has basically been inaccessible to you.
Yeah, I don't know.
For the past week.
Yep, pretty much.
I think your last posting was on July the 7th, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly there's a reason why that happens. You're flying over the Gulf of Mexico and you're catching some flack.
I'm catching some black oil sheen birds.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Dr. Ott, we're out of time. Certainly, I know I'm wishing you the best and hoping that you get your systems up and running. so that you can communicate with people. But if anyone does want to read your work, they can go to your website, atrueot.com. And your show, The Story Behind the Story, airs Monday through Friday on the Micro Effect. Any information you want to give out in that regard?
Well, yeah, just, again, you can go on to themicroeffect.com, and if your computer's working good, if you've got a good connect rate, you can listen with a good signal. So we're from 7 to 9 p.m. On the West Coast. That's 10 to midnight on the East Coast. So, yeah, we just like to have you listen in. We'll keep you abreast as much as we can of the breaking things, just as you do, Don.
Well, it's a pleasure having you on, and I want to let the listening audience know you'll be back with us again next Monday with Dr. Mike Castle. And we're going to have, I'm sure, a roundtable discussion on this. What do you think will transpire in the next week? Any guesses?
Like I said, there'll be an announcement that they've contained the leak completely. The top kill will, and the relief wells will be working way ahead of schedule. Again, it's all contrived. All from day one, it's orchestrated. So, well, it's a pleasure, Don, and we'll be in touch.
Okay, likewise. You be safe.
Thank you, sir. Good night.
All right. Good night. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints, and tonight's special guest, Dr. Atrueot on bbsradio.com. Also want to thank Wind Talkers Radio Network, blogtalkradio.com, Seth Hendrick on the sound at BBS, and most of all, I want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Join me tomorrow night when my special guest will be Mr. Michael Anthony. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.